Janitorial Manager presents the Business of Cleaning podcast, the podcast that brings you the information you need to be successful in the cleaning industry. The Business of Cleaning podcast provides in-depth interviews with successful personalities from the commercial cleaning industry, as well as discussing the trending topics that matter to you and your organization. Welcome into the Business of Cleaning podcast, your number one source of information on the commercial cleaning industry. We record new episodes monthly live from the Janitorial Manager Studio located in Toledo, Ohio. I'm Tim Clagg, the Marketing Communications Specialist here at Janitorial Manager and your host of the Business of Cleaning podcast. Today, we welcome in the owner of Forte Commercial Cleaning, Jason Davis. They're based out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Welcome to the program, Jason. We're so glad to have you.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Forte Cleaning has been making national news in the spotlight the last few months for their community involvement and inclusion. Congratulations on that national attention. We're going to dive into that a little bit later, but I want to give you kudos right off the top for that and your business.
Thank you.
So the first thing I want to discuss is your background, how you got involved in commercial cleaning, especially with an economics degree and a prior background in banking.
Okay. Yeah. Good question. Honestly, you know, like you said, I did go to the University of Utah. I got my degree in economics. And after that, just kind of got right into banking, did, you know, commercial banking, investment banking. Just got really, really burned out with the 9-to-5, you know, office environment. Ended up leaving that, just, really quit pretty abruptly. Didn't really have a plan. Got my real estate license. Did that for a while. And so once I got, kind of in the independent world, my wife and I just started looking at business opportunities. She had a friend of hers. Did some commercial cleaning with some local businesses. And we just looked into it, you know, ran the numbers, looked at different types of businesses and felt like there were some good opportunities in the commercial cleaning space. And so that's kind of what led us into it.
How scary is that going back, looking at that, like you said, kind of quitting abruptly, having that plan B, you know, to, hey, well, tomorrow I'm going to do this. How scary was that moment before you decided to get your real estate license and then have those discussions with your wife?
Oh, man, it was pretty crazy. We were, you know, young and crazy. We already had two kids, you know. We actually, I mean, when we got into it, when I met, you know, who now is my one of our business partners, we just really, really wanted to do something, and we actually sold our house, you know, went all into it. And I think sometimes, you know, it's scary for sure. We definitely, you know, thought about that after we did it, and there are a few times we, you know, regretted it, but it ended up working out okay. So
it's funny you mentioned your wife at her job of that particular time. She had seen that the commercial cleaners that had owned the company that cleaned where she was employed had some success. And you mentioned their partners. What do you remember the most, Jason, from those conversations that you were very confident walking away? This could be an avenue not only to start a business, but have a career, a longevity.
Yeah. I mean, really, one of the main things for us was, you know, the barrier to entry, which was pretty low, and other business models that we looked at, you know, required a lot more capital, equipment, just stuff we really didn't have access to, you know, just, you know, we were honestly pretty poor, you know, we were living, you know, paycheck to paycheck and just kind of, so that was one of the biggest things. And apart from that, just, you know, looking at the industry, we just felt like, you know, we could really, we could do it, you know, if you're dedicated, there's lots of opportunities. There's not any like major players. I mean, there's some big companies, but there's a lot of smaller, mom and pop companies. And so we just felt like, something that we could get into and do good at.
So at this point, it's you and your wife, kind of the cleaners for your company.
Yeah, when we first started. So I met my business partner, Jasper. Him and his partner, Eric, actually started Forte Commercial Cleaning back in 2008. And this was 2016. And so we actually got into it by buying a master franchise at first for the Northern Utah area. And then in 2019 is when we actually ended up merging together with them to be business partners, and part owners of Forte.
Can you break down, going back, just we talked about the startup capital. Break down the essential investments required, such as you mentioned, well, we didn't have enough for equipment. What equipment you put as a high priority? Supplies, what insurance, and licensing fees that were required at the time when you guys said, you know what, it's not really that much of a capital that's really going to hurt us on startup.
Right. So I mean, depending on what you're, what you're looking at doing. When we started, we just started, I guess what you would call low hanging fruit, apartments. We started doing a lot of apartment buildings, which to do that, I mean, vacuum, a broom, some microfiber rags and cleaning chemicals. It's not a lot, a couple hundred bucks. Our major expense was since we bought master franchise, right? So we wanted, we needed some money, and so we that's why we ended up actually selling our house and bought into something that already had some accounts running, and so that way we were able to kind of, we didn't have to reinvent the wheel, just bought into something at first that was already functioning, and that worked out pretty well for us just to have a little bit of money from the start.
Let's talk about that. I find that very interesting sometimes. And you know better, you've seen situations in the banking industry where somebody has come in for what looks on paper like a sweet deal, right? But you've been there, you've seen it, you had some collateral in selling the house. What weighed into that situation? Because obviously you're taking a big risk starting a company. And if you take out a loan, like there's another big risk involved. So can you kind of take us through that mindset and what led to you guys kind of deciding the best situation, the best choice for you guys was to sell that house?
Ours, I mean, it was just I think it was just pure motivation just to be independent and, be a business owner. When I was in school, at the U, I did an internship with Salt Lake City Economic Development, and I was part of their revolving loan fund, working with small businesses, getting loans, helping startups. That's kind of in that, with that energy, small business startup kind of energy. And we just really wanted to get back into that. It's a really nice kind of feeling to the entrepreneurial, feeling, in that space. And we just I for us, it was just, we had to do something. I couldn't do the office 9 to 5 stuff. So
We're talking to Jason Davis, owner of Forte Commercial Cleaning in Salt Lake City, Utah. Forte, as you mentioned it, cleaning started in Utah in 2016. You and your wife were making just under, in our initial conversation, you said about 5,000 a month. Now, fast forward, 8 years doesn't seem like a long time, but I'm sure, like they say, the struggle is real at first. Fast forward those 8 short years later, you were telling me around $525,000 now comfortably a month. How quickly for you guys, Jason, did you start to see that monthly revenue increase?
I mean, it was slow at first, right? I mean, right off the bat, right when we started, we actually, like within the first month, we lost one of the big contracts that we had, we were kind of counting on. So I had to pick up another job. I worked at the Walmart distribution center, in 3 days. I worked 40 hours Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when we first started. So we actually got off to a really rough start. But within the first year, little by little, I think we picked up about $20,000 in accounts the first year. Ended up getting some solid accounts. And it was actually in our second year when we had a huge opportunity to bid on a big manufacturing plant here in Utah. At first, we didn't even want to bid on everything because we felt like it was too big for us. But we, at the time, they had different companies cleaning different parts of it. And so I'm like, let's bid on everything. And if we get just a little piece of it, that'll be great, And then they ended up, the buyer, Barbara, called me and she's like, well, we want you guys to do it, but we want you to do everything. And I was like,
Oh,
well,
wow.
no, we can't, we can't. She's like, well, it's all or nothing, And so that was kind of what got us, pushed us, gave us that push. And like I said, it was, within the first 2 years, huge, huge, huge account. And then from there, with that reference and everything really helped us grow and get some other pretty solid accounts.
You think it's fair to say, like you said, in that first month, you lost one of the bigger contracts. Do you feel like that moment, that experience, helped you to prepare for this nailing down this big contract in year number two?
Oh yeah. When I had that chance to bid that, I mean, we were so, so motivated and just so focused on doing everything that we had to do to at least get a piece of that, So I think that really, the struggle that you have going into it helps, when you are presented an opportunity just to, realize what that is and just be, get that hunger, and motivation to land those kinds of accounts. So it was a lot of work. I mean, I put a spreadsheet. There's like a 100-page, spreadsheet working out all the different, cleaning schedules and everything, all the equipment and all the stuff going into it. And just, I mean, it took like 6 months, working on that and getting that bid and nailing it down. So yeah, I think the, like I said, the struggle, helps feed the hunger and then helps you get motivated. So yeah.
And you had mentioned too, we're not sure if we can hit, well, it's an all or nothing. So I'm sure then and there, once that was solidified, then you guys went out and got some employees to help completely make sure top to bottom this place was spick and span.
Yeah, we went from, almost 100 employees. It was a huge,
Wow.
huge, huge account. We had to, it was a lot of, a lot of legwork. At that point, we had some really good people helping us with like apartments and things. Very, very motivated, people. There's a really strong, community. My wife's from Guatemala. I speak more Spanish than I do English. There's a really, really cool, strong, Hispanic community that we have a lot of friends in. And so they were able just to, pick up, we divided it up into to, sub franchises, and had different people work different parts of the account. And, we have a lot of really great, workers that made it possible. But yeah, it was intense there for a minute.
During the intro, kind of teased at the top of the podcast, mentioned Forte being in the national spotlight, and that is due to Forte giving opportunities to homeless people to work and focusing on inclusion. First, I want to applaud you guys for doing that. Obviously, it's a national crisis everywhere in the United States, and your company's efforts for being so proactive. A lot of people say, we want to be involved, and then sometimes they don't follow through. But you guys have, and have been a huge benefit to your community. When did you realize that there was a serious need to help give these people in the community just a chance? Just a chance where 95% of employers would just turn the other cheek and not even give them an opportunity or a worry.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty early on. We started cleaning a large event venue, a stadium where we needed a lot of, a lot of bodies, a lot of labor, 100 people around that per night after some of the big events. And Just trying to figure out how to staff that kind of led us into looking at some different options. We started at first, working. There was just a few people approached us that were, struggling, experiencing some homelessness, and they needed to make some money. And so we let them, really. Didn't see it as a big deal, hired them, and then but as we continued to work, they started referring more people over and started kind of sharing with us, their experiences. And so we really kind of started focusing on that. They have a hard time finding employment. We don't have an address and things like that. Don't have a place to shower and get ready and do interviews or resumes and that kind of thing. So, and at that point, we realized it was a really good kind of situation if we can find the right people that are motivated and want to, get back on their feet, because then they can use that as a reference. They can, with that paycheck, they can start to get into to more permanent housing and just do things, really. Just that first step to get back on their feet. So, yeah.
You give a lot of credit to a book that you have read numerous times, The Go-Giver. What did that book kind of teach you and open your eyes about giving back, and some of the biggest lessons that it taught you to take away?
Yeah, that back when I did real estate, that my stepdad gave me that book, sales related book about giving, how giving helps you as a salesman, and so it's just, yeah, it's all about just giving, trying to help people, do what you can, and it's just, it comes back and helps you, give more value in service, than what you receive in payment is one of the big big things that it talks about. So I just, something we've always tried to implement in our business model, just give opportunities, like we were given an opportunity, to get into the business and bid on things. People gave us opportunities, and so we just really want to, try to give back when we can.
And with the success working in the community, it's led to referrals from people, from family and friends who are already working within the company, that it's led you guys away from having to go to recruiting and job sites like Indeed.com. So you guys haven't had to go that route, where speaking with a lot of different people on our podcast, they'll have to go maybe, let's say, to Indeed or a recruiting company to just get some help. So, word of mouth and just following through, like you said, has led to some tremendous referrals for you guys to be able to land top-notch talent.
Yeah, honestly, I mean that was very, very surprising. Not really expected, to be honest. But we on for some events now, we actually have to turn people away because so many people show up. But yeah, we don't do any recruiting. Don't use Indeed at all. We tried it when we first started a little bit. Didn't have a lot of success with it, and just found by treating the employees, right, creating a good work environment as best we can, even though, they could make more money a lot of times going somewhere else. A lot of times they'll go and then they'll come back because they're like, man, I just like working here, because the group, the environment, everything, we try to have a good, tight-knit group of people. And yeah, it's referrals, get a lot of referrals whenever we get new accounts.
And kind of staying true to your word too. A lot of people that work in the commercial cleaning industry, maybe in the past, have been looked down upon, and prior employers maybe haven't fulfilled their responsibility in following through with their actions. Well, you guys, one of the things that is pretty awesome, and it certainly caught my attention, is you pay people daily when they work for you. And especially in this industry, this is really kind of the revolutionary, really.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you do what you got to do. I feel like that really people really appreciate that. So it was, we with the background in commercial banking, I had know of some creative options to, kind of financial, financial wise, AR financing and things like that that we can use to get money in the door. Even though we're billing our clients every 30 to 60 days, we can get some money when we need it, and then pay people as fast as we can, and make sure we always, I was surprised that that's a pretty big thing when I first got into the industry, just making sure people get paid. And that's it sounds pretty simple, but yeah, they love that, and that I think that's a big reason, as to why they come back and refer other people.
Yeah, it's crazy. I used to work in the recruiting industry, and while I used to work here, they were shorting my pay. I wasn't getting these hours paid for, and I'm like, wow, that's just so head scratching because it's something that, I've never been exposed to where, the check is hit the bank account, right? So it is an interesting perspective to kind of put your shoes in and think about. But one of the big accounts you guys took over in 2019, the Delta Center, home of the Utah Jazz in 2019. Can we look a little bit into what goes on planning a proposal for a big venue like this and lining up all the people? They play 83 games a season. Half of those are home games. So you got about 40, 41 home games. That's 40 plus nights where you need to fill 100 plus people there. Can you discuss that end of things?
Yeah, and quite honestly, I mean, the Jazz games are not the hardest. I mean, we do the monster trucks and all the, Disney on Ice events and
Nice.
all the events, concerts. Concerts are not bad, but you get the rodeos and monster trucks and stuff like that that is a lot more challenging to clean up after. But it's been a work in progress. It still is, a work in progress. There's always new challenges and things. When we started, we started bringing about 10 people per night, and it wasn't really, with that amount of people, we weren't really making any money. But I was actually there, when we started it, I was, boots on the ground there, figuring it out, trying to see how things worked, talking to the managers and just, trying to understand how the whole process in the building works. So little by little, once we started to understand the different schedules and different tasks that needed to be done, cleaning the suites, going down to the bathrooms, even in the players, area down there in the high security areas. We've even had people help, changing out the courts, breaking up the ice after Disney on Ice, all that kind of stuff. And so it was just little by little. None of the other companies, they just send people there because they had a lot of companies, and they just send people there blindly without even any supervisors or anything. But so I think it was just taking that time to kind of go in and really understand and find out how everything worked. And little by little, now we're one of the only companies. They still have a few others, but we're definitely the largest, with the most people there at this point.
Some new business owner listening to this episode here this month, and they're trying to build their team, build their talent and their culture based around inclusion. What are some of the biggest pieces of advice that you would tell them right off the bat today to be successful?
Pretty basic stuff, honestly. I mean, don't judge a book by its cover. Probably one of the biggest things, give people a chance, especially if they're, referral. I think that helps a lot. We've had very, very few issues, with people that have come over on referrals. So, find a space, even if maybe you wouldn't have them work at a bank or something, but there's accounts, depending on the account, there's definitely opportunities to, employ, almost everybody. It takes a lot, I think, to to not be employable at all. So yeah, I think just basically give people a chance.
And some of these people that you have given opportunities to have been rather successful. I know I was watching the one of the news stations that picked up and did a really nice feature on you guys, but talked about one of your employees, Joy, who moved from Michigan to Utah, was homeless. You guys gave her an opportunity, worked there, purchased her own apartment. You guys helped her pay for, you know, furniture for her place. When you see a kind of redemption story like that, what does it do for you inside, kind of your heart and your chest? What does it do for you to see kind of that redemption story come around?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it feels good, you know. It's you know, it's a really good feeling to see that and see the system work, you know. Especially you know, going back to kind of my, you know, I was in school studying economics and things, and being involved in the business community, I always, you know, felt like, you know, through for-profit, you know, business, you know, businesses and corporations, business owners, you know, can, you know, have an impact. It doesn't have to just be charities and government, you know, and stuff like that,
right?
But actually for-profit businesses, you know, can do things to have social impact. So it's kind of nice to see that is possible sometimes. So.
And along with creating those new beginnings for people, you're helping them gain skills to build in a resume, because sometimes after they've got that experience, it is time for them to kind of move on. And what is it like to be able to give people those skills too? You've had several people who have come work for you guys that have been off the streets that now are, you know, had success with you guys, built that resume up, and were able to go outside and continue their career path, whatever that might be. That's got to feel pretty special overall.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal, you know, to just be more of a stepping stone, or, you know, if there are opportunities to grow within the company too, you know, that's another great thing to happen. But yeah, that's the ideal outcome, you know, to have some kind of progression and move on to something better.
And you guys have some other exciting things coming up. I know you guys were, when we talked, kind of looking on locking down another big contract. I know you said sometimes you got to turn away some people, but if this one happens, I don't think you're going to have to turn away anybody from work at all in the future.
Yeah, that's the struggle, find enough work to keep everybody busy, you know, just keep finding more things and continue to grow and keep, you know, keep trying to find more opportunities and provide as many opportunities as we can. So we're happy, you know, whenever we get a chance to do that.
How do you continue to challenge yourself? You know, I'm sure your goal of being in this industry for yourself as a person has changed probably a handful, a dozen times, where, okay, we can check this one off, check this off. So for you, with being so successful with your company, how do you continue to raise your expectations, to raise your goals as well?
Yeah, I you know, just having those goals set continuously, setting, you know, new goals, working to achieve them. You know, right now I'm working on some stuff to expand. You know, we've really been focused just on the Utah market. We're looking on expanding, you know, the operations to other markets. And there's so many opportunities. It's, you know, it's almost unlimited, you know, opportunities available. So I don't think we'll ever run out of, you know, goals to set, and just keep on pushing. Yeah.
And the forecast for the industry, nothing but sunny skies right now and forward, right, as well. Jason, I want to thank you coming on this month's episode and discussing inclusion and so many valuable topics to our listeners. How can people find your guys' website and along with following you guys on social media?
ForteCommercialCleaning.com. It's kind of a long one, but Google Forte Commercial Cleaning. You'll see all of our stuff. We're actively working on being better at social media. So here in the next coming months, you should see we're even possibly going to start a YouTube channel. So
Awesome.
that's all in the works.
All right. We'll look forward to kind of tracking that progress. And thank you again for coming on here. That will conclude this month's episode of the Business of Cleaning podcast. Be sure to subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast from. From everyone at Janitorial Manager, our guest for this month, Jason Davis. I'm Tim Clagg saying so long. Until next time.